Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Today, I'm going to talk to you about something that you experience every day throughout your day, but we often do not understand this very powerful tool that is a guide for us. And this tool that we experience every day and we frame our life and we frame ourselves and we frame our opinions and our beliefs based on this very powerful navigational tool called our emotions. You know, to the best of our knowledge, human beings are the only species on this planet, again, to our knowledge, that have emotions, that we hold on to. Now, we can certainly see if we have domesticated animals that we live with, pets that we live with, they appear to express emotions. Mostly what they express is fear or trust. And it does not appear as though they hold on to those emotions and make judgments. However, they do have extra sensory perceptions that allow them to see, hear, smell, and be aware of what they know they can trust and cannot trust. So humans have not had this skill. Is certainly in recent history be developed. The skill is there, but we do not understand, because we have been taught so strongly through the belief systems that we have that we are not worthy. So that belief in unworthiness, principally from religions that say that we are inherently bad, that earth is the place to get away from and heaven is the place to go. And this belief and concepts that to have the most might is right, to have the most intellectual academic prowess is therefore more highly intelligent. So we have pitted ourselves against one another and against ourselves when we do not understand that our emotions are our navigation, that allow us to move through life with a greater sense of awareness if we understand the messages. So I'm going to just back up a little bit and explain something first so that you have a greater understanding. And I'm going to be repeating something that I've spoken about before, but it bears repeating because we are in such a time of such divisiveness, and our divisiveness is fueled by the emotions that we do not examine and we believe to be true. So there's a beautiful body of knowledge that is multiple layers of information that was gathered by brilliant observers. And these observers watched how the world existed, how the world was created, how the universe appeared to be in control and is clearly in control. The universe upon which we live, that we are most familiar with, is Earth. But the navigational tools that life has given us have made our own universe a rocky road. And the universe that I'm speaking of is the universe within ourselves, the universe of our beliefs, the universe of our choices, the universe of our ability to believe, or that part of us that makes us harm one another or harm ourselves, that is such a distortion of information but it is information that is believed to be true. So that distortion is further enhanced and further spread by the lack of examination of what our navigational tools are telling us. Those navigational tools are emotions. Now, I don't want to say, and I certainly am not, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist, I am not someone who is anything other than an observer. I'm a human being. And although it is helpful to diagnose, although it is helpful to label, it is not always helpful. In fact, sometimes it's detrimental. And that is part of the problem that we enhance and we entangle ourselves in when we believe that our emotions are set in stone. When we believe that we are a particular way, that things are a particular way, and that it is not editable, that it is not changeable, that it is not malleable. So I'm going to back up and share a beautiful teaching that is from what is called a medicine wheel. And this teaching is understanding ourselves as human beings. It is a beautiful tool that helps us to understand what and who we are in this experience that we have that's called a life. And we have universal understanding in most regards that we existed somewhere before we came to this earth, before we inhabited a body. And that concept has been greatly distorted. It has been greatly misunderstood at times, and it has been relegated to a spooky realm. But in truth, we are spirit. We are a part of everything that is in existence. We are part of this beautiful universe. And in order to experience anything, we must be physical. So that requires this body that we inhabit. And I'm just going to, before I go into the body and then the emotions, I want to explain what I just said about making things spooky. Religion used to refer to spirit as a holy ghost. So just coupling holy with the word ghost, it could and did create a lot of confusion, at least in my mind as a child, because a ghost was always seen as something that was frightening, something that was there to quote unquote haunt us. And then adding the word holy as if it is something that is elevated above the known experience. It would be true to call it the Holy Spirit, but not Holy Ghost. So with that, that verbiage was changed to Holy Spirit. So I think that it's helpful to us that we use the term spirit more inclusively, because spirit is that part of ourselves that has a knowing of right or wrong, that has a knowing of healthy situations and unhealthy situations. But the means by which we receive this information is through this physical wonder that is called our body, this incredible dynamic universe within itself that is able to grow and emote and move and think and create and express and love and contemplate and interact with the world, with the living world, with other human beings, with life itself. We need this body to have this beautiful experience called life. But our emotions are this beautiful mechanism of energy that is moving, energy in motion, that comes to us like a wave that comes to us like a wave, like from a cell tower, if you could imagine this by way of analogy, that we are constantly being beamed to us and from us like a satellite. Our body is like radar that can pick up something, and a satellite that is like projecting something. So we have this capacity for intake and output. And this phenomenon that is this unseen world, but palpable world of the information that we're receiving called our emotions has really, in my mind, has to be examined. And it is my hope in the near future to gather some really powerful and insightful thinkers together to create a platform and maybe a day-long event where anyone who is interested can participate so that we can begin to think differently about who we are and what we're doing as human beings. So this input that we receive begins in utero. There is evidence, and I cannot cite the evidence at the moment, but I know that it is out there because I've read it, that children in utero, that infants, fetuses in utero, react to the emotional joy or distress within the mother that they are within. And it can alter the growing patterns and the way that things happen within the body. And again, I am not a scientific researcher, so I'm asking that you don't, you know, say this is hard and fast in stone, but I want you to investigate it on your own if you question it. But we do know that infants, the moment they're born, are reacting to all the stimuli that they are experiencing. They react to the tactile engagement of being touched, of being rubbed, of being cuddled, of being soothed, of the sensory perceptions of smell. And these are the first ways that our body begins to understand who we are in relation to the world we're in, the environment we're in. And sometimes that environment that an infant is brought into is a hostile environment or a frightened environment or an environment that is challenged or an environment that is loving but still challenged, whether it's for economic reasons, relationship reasons, whatever it might be. And there's also, of course, those who are born into loving environments all over the world, that these infants are cared for and nurtured. And it is that bond, that silent message that is received by the neurotransmitters and perceived through our tactile engagement, perceived through the sound of voices, that we begin to frame our own experience based on the emotions that are emitted or received, rather, and created by this energy that is coming to us. If you watch a child, I remember it was very, very interesting. One of my sisters invited me to participate in a clinical trial about well babies. And my son, who is now approaching 40 years old, so this was probably, you know, almost 40 years ago. He was a couple months old. And they were observing what a healthy relationship is with a child and what happens when a child experiences being ignored or being engaged or being talked to in certain ways. And they examined what this did. What they were trying to glean from this information is what perception is this child building? What perception, what framework are they building and prescribing for their own experience of themselves? And we don't realize this with enough clarity that every day we are building this library of emotions that we have no idea what to do with. And so when we have uncertain emotions, and we then create belief systems based on these emotions, then we have the potential for a complete and utter breakdown of the system. Because most of these belief systems are ways of engaging entitlement or judgment or some kind of perception of authority over another, being better than somebody else for any number of reasons, because of ability or disability, from color, from race, from gender, economic status, intellectual capacity. All of these things, we begin to experience our own emotional viewpoint that is often very, very distorted. So in my mind, there's a huge paradigm shift that needs to occur. And I believe that there is a lot that is taking place around the planet. I was watching something yesterday on Netflix about, interestingly, about mycelium, and I wish I could remember the gentleman's name who was the principal researcher. I can get that for you. I'll look it up here on my phone because I know that I took a little note about that. And so what I want to talk about is how we are learning. Excuse me for looking this up, but I want to be able to give this to you correctly if I can. Paul Stamets, who is a myceliologist. And what he was looking at and what they were talking about is how fungi are very similar to our own neurotransmitters. And if we learn how to observe what this beautiful, the largest organism on the planet, which is fungi, works collaboratively to begin to bring together workable solutions by everything working together. So the trees talk to each other. The trees and the plant life understands that if there is something lacking in an area, the more stable trees go to their aid. And as everything regenerates, nothing is lost and everything is continuously gained. And so the premise of why I'm saying this is because if we look at the natural world, we'll see how the world is designed, how creation is designed to further life. But we have gotten in our own way, that we have created these barriers between ourselves. And those barriers are our unexamined emotions and the beliefs that we hold very rigorously with sometimes a Bible in one hand and a weapon in another, that we give ourselves permission to disavow and disengage the lives of other people. And if we looked at the natural world of which we are a part, maybe we could begin to discover how do we begin to renegotiate what it means to be collaborative, and what it means to look at ways of reframing the challenges that we have. But first of all, we have to begin to understand, I believe, what it is that we are receiving information about. So why I'm making this analogy and this correlation between mycelium and this gentleman's research is that he has understood that and has begun to recognize that by following the patterns of nature, human disease and human challenges are being mitigated, being corrected, being righted, if you will. And I would love someday to have the opportunity to speak with him, and I hope to do so. But what that got me thinking about is, what if we understood that as we begin to understand our own emotions, the information that's coming to us, we begin to reframe our own neural network, our own body's ability to respond rather than react. We are so habituated into reacting that we then allow that reaction to further solidify within us our belief systems and our unimagined or unexamined emotions that continue to cause harm. Excuse me. So what I want us to begin to think about, and I do this every day, and I hope that you will join me on this venture, on this voyage of looking at, and I'm dedicating the rest of my life, and actually I hope that I have at least another 30 years to go, that I can help others see themselves for the magnificent people that they are. So I'm going to do a little self-plug here. If it's okay, I want to just share that I invite you to go to my website, which is www.Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, Grohman, Grohman.com. And there you will see that I have a lot of different items. I like to begin with what my offerings are, that I have ways throughout my entire life. I have been an artist. So I've been, and I recognize that being an artist has helped me to look at things differently. I've looked all of the photos that you see on here, all of the artwork that you see is my own. And what I try to do and always have tried to do as an artist is to help to evoke an emotion for individuals. And so I offer workshops. So if you could go and scroll to the workshops page, please, that would be helpful. Then you can see that I have, thank you. Then you can see that I have two upcoming events, August 21st and 22nd. I'm going to be teaching a two-day level one, used to be called Sacred Geometry and Energy Medicine. Now it is called Energy Healing, an Introduction to Energy Medicine, so that we can begin to understand and experience what it means to feel our own humanity, to be aware of some of the capabilities of our body. It's a two-day workshop taking place in Farmington Hills. There's openings for 12 individuals. If you're interested, please get in touch with me at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at ElaineGrohman.com, or you can go to my website and take a look at it. The second event that I'm hosting is an audience reading. And for many, many years, beginning back in about 2002, I think it was, I started to study my intuition, because I had been having for many, many years experiences of understanding. Again, this is going back to emotions, because it's the perception of information that we make our judgments on, and we label them our emotions. I began doing intuitive readings. At the time, I called them angel readings, one-on-one with people, and I still to this day do. But on the 25th, August 25th, I'm going to be hosting a small minimum, or the maximum would be 20 people, group reading, that everyone sits together and I share whatever it is I'm experiencing for everyone in the group. And the dynamic of that is, it's very powerful. There's an energy that is very evident that helps us to all to start to elevate our own capacity. Because what I want people to understand, if I can do it, you can do it. It's just that I have learned how to hone these skills. And if you go a little further down that page, you'll see that I have created on demand at your own pace. Here in this page, it talks about what is an individual reading, what is energy healing, what is a group reading. And if you scroll down just a little bit further, please, you'll see there's two right now, and I'm going to be creating many more workshops that are on demand, which means for $25, you can listen to something that I've done that's about an hour long, and you can learn about why you want to be grounded, for instance, and the four powers of the human self. And there's many, many other things. So I want to make this as accessible to people as possible, because we all learn at our own pace. And I think the single most important thing that we need to understand as human beings is our emotions. Because right now in our world, our emotions are all over the board. We have been entrained through various factions to judge one another harshly, to see each other through the eyes of separation rather than through the eyes of togetherness in experiencing this life together. Because I don't have just my life. My life is everything I experience, every perception I have, every bit of information I am able to glean, every emotion that I begin to understand is life. And I don't have my life singularly. We are life. We are it. And so my hope is to give you opportunities to see through what is called my eyes. So if you would kindly, Kojo, go up to the top of the page, and you'll see that... Gosh, it's so small on the screen. I got to see what it says. Workshops, and the next is energy news feed. Thank you. I appreciate your help. I have offered different writings that I have been privileged to share in published magazines. And I'm offering these and newer things as well. So they're usually about a 3 to 5 minute, 2 to 3 minute, up to 5 minute read at the most. And if you click on them, you can read them, you can like them, you can share them if you feel that it is impactful to you. And then also there is some opportunities to look at different individuals that I have interviewed. And if you go over to the next little thing, thank you. It's called Walk With Me. I try to help whoever comes to my website to see what it is like to see through my eyes. Now, that doesn't mean that my eyes are superior, that the way I see the world is superior. It's not. It's just that I have consciously attempted to broaden my point of view, to literally broaden my perspective, to not see the world through a narrow frame, so that I can begin to appreciate what life is offering me. And again, the principal way that we do that is by our emotions. If you could scroll down a little bit more, please. You'll see that you have an opportunity to look at, of course, Empower Radio. You will see the link on the far left there, upper left, of Empower Radio, and also some video clips from different opportunities that I had to be on the Ask Dr. Nandy show with my dear friend, Dr. Partha Nandy, who is an extraordinary human being who I had the great privilege of being included as an expert guest on his show, the first being really pivotal to kind of really open our point of view about our own capability as human beings. And that first episode was called Medical Miracles, in which I had the opportunity to be on the show as one of three guests with Dr. Mary Neal and Dr. Adam McLeod and myself. And from that, it sparked a continuation of conversations with Partha Nandy and his viewing audience. And I really am deeply appreciative of that. The center middle one is an article that was written about me in the Our Detroit magazine, H-O-U-R, Our magazine. And the next one over was a conversation I had through WIA, which is Water Innovators Accelerator. And I will be adding more. So my hope is to expand my reach, to have more speaking engagements with anyone who wants to begin to understand who they are in relationship to themselves, to their family, to their friends, to their coworkers, to the world at large, so that we reframe our thinking through reframing our emotions. So I want to invite you to take a look at that. And then the next one over, as Kojo had graciously shown earlier, is SHOP, where I have at the top of that, you can see that Elaine Gerlman, and then you see two images where my first two books are on Amazon. They're both in audio version, ebook version, and physical print book. And below that, I've often been asked by people, well, why don't you put your words on a shirt or on something? So all of the calligraphy is mine. All of the work, my background is actually as an artist, and then I went to school at the Center for Creative Studies in Graphic Design, and I fell in love with calligraphy. And I became fairly well known at it as a calligrapher, and did work for that was used on television, used on billboards, on sides of trucks, and all kinds of fun things long before everything became a font. So things were hand done and still are hand done. So my hope is to begin to help us have visual reminders of how important it is. Even with the one, if you could stop right there, Kojo, right, the center one in the middle says Mother Earth's life is our life. So I've created little shopping bags, pardon me, reusable shopping bags, so that people can see what, you know, as a visual reminder that this earth is ours. So now what does that have to do with our emotions? My hope always has been as an artist is to tap into our emotions, to give us a time of being of pausing and being silent and being reflective of what this life is all about, what we have yet to learn, what we have yet to grow through and become more fully aware of. And so in all of the various things that I have on this, on my website, is opportunities for you, if you're new to me, if you scroll down, I'm not sure if it's that page, if you could just go down to the bottom of that page, Kojo. If yes, thank you. You can connect with me if you want to on the left hand side. If you want to set up an appointment, or you just want to ask me a question, you can submit something there. You're more than welcome. I try to get back to you as quickly as possible. I do talks with people all over the world, and also Beyond Words, which is a twice monthly inspirational newsletter that I send out, and you're welcome to sign up for that, and you'll be included in my email contact so that you receive beautiful inspirational things that I create using my photography, my calligraphy, my writing, and then showing what I'm offering. And again, I want you to know that this is not just for me to say, gee, look who Elaine Gerlman is. That's not the point. The point is, I want you to see, look how phenomenal you are. That because it takes all of humanity to really come to our senses. And our senses, what that means is our ability to perceive information. And if we don't understand our emotions, we are inhibited in perceiving information that is meant to guide us. Our emotions are meant to guide us. And unfortunately, we have allowed our beliefs to guide us. We have allowed our beliefs to give us permission to harm one another. We have allowed our beliefs to see some as different than ourselves, as less than ourselves, as superior to ourselves. And all of this is false information that is predicated on unexamined emotions. And so I pledge to you that I will continue, as long as I am able, to share what I learn. I'm willing to step out there and to help people see their own goodness. And yes, we all have hardships. Yes, we all have challenges that we can either have these challenges be the entirety of the story of our lives, whether it's a trauma, an injury, a loss, a death, a change in relationship, a change in employment, a change in economic status, for the better or worse. We have incorrectly seen these things that happen to us as our definers. And in later in this conversations, not today, but in another conversation, I want to talk to you about our mind. But if we don't understand, first of all, our emotions, we are going to continue to see just rampant destruction of our own species, of our planet, of the systems that we have set up that are not allowing us to thrive, but are keeping us in very narrow prescribed situations. I have conversations with people all over, and whether those conversations are taking place in Europe or the United States or Canada or wherever someone is reaching out to me from, we seem to have the same challenges. We are learning. We have to learn, first of all, that the destructive ways that we have been taught to think must end. And so, but we have to learn how to negotiate what it is that we feel. To feel our emotions is creation's way of signaling us silently. To say, there's harm here, there's comfort here, there's something wrong, everything's good. We feel it internally. Our body has this amazing neural receptors and neural pathways and peripheral nervous system that responds to outside information through that unseen signal of what we feel when we're around individuals, when we're around certain situations. But we have not been educated, emotionally educated, to understand what are we observing when we see someone whose life is in a downward spiral. We quickly label, we quickly judge, we quickly categorize without understanding what, when we're seeing disease, when we're seeing trauma, when we're seeing injury that's inflicted injury, when we see self-abuse, we are seeing unexamined emotions. We are seeing emotions that have become belief systems that very, very quickly build walls of our perception. So around our perception, so that all we see is what we believe to be true, whether that's true or not. And so we have, first of all, to learn how to create enriching, supportive relationships within ourselves and within those that we're with. We have an opportunity to recognize when a situation is untenable, when the situation is not workable. There is no need for destruction. But often that is what we believe. If we believed we have been wronged, we are angry and often destructive. That's why there's so many horrible, bitter breakups, whether it's the breakup of friendship, a breakup of someone leaving a job, whether it's the breakup of a marriage, whatever it happens to be. There is no requirement that we be bitter. But there is a hope that we learn, so that as we begin to heal from the wounds that we have experienced from our unexamined emotions. We can pause and gain a broader perspective of what have we learned. Have we learned to be more fully aware of what our emotions are telling us before we get into relationships, as we're testing the waters, as we're witnessing someone's balance or imbalance? When we learn to do that for ourselves, then I believe we will have less reactive behavior that then pushes us towards anger, that pushes us towards separation, that pushes us towards bigotry, that pushes us towards imbalance. And instead, if we can pause and say, okay, what am I feeling here? And what is this information showing me? Is this an old pattern of belief systems that we really need to just let go because it is no longer helpful? It is not unifying. It doesn't help us. It doesn't create collaboration. It doesn't problem solve. It creates problems, creates divides. Then we know when we can balance ourselves enough in a moment of peace to see what is being shared, what we are gleaning from this information. So these emotions, this energy in motion, is providing us with an essential framework upon which to later learn how to use our mind. And the mind, we hope that everyone has a fully functioning, beautiful, workable mind. And we know that many don't. And that can be caused from disease processes, or it can be caused by substance abuse because of the unexamined emotions. Any substance abuse is predicated by an unexamined emotion. A belief that to medicate oneself is going to change anything. It will not. So instead of looking at a person who has an addiction of some kind as a bad person, as a weak person, they're a person who has not been taught to understand their emotions. They are individuals who have been not given the opportunity to learn what is their value and how do they make an educated, conscious decision using the mind, which we'll talk about at another time. But all of the things that we're seeing now is we see blatant lies, we see half-truths, we see cover-ups, we see information that is so different and new that we immediately disavow it, even though it may be true. We have to learn how to negotiate and learn how to be truthful. But there is many things that we have let go by that have caused our world, ourselves, our civilizations great harm. And if we are in this beautiful time that many, many elders of the indigenous world, many people who have seen the cycles of our civilizations as they rise and fall, we are coming out of what is referred to as a dark age and coming into an age of enlightenment. So, but what that means is to be enlightened does not mean smarter than. It means you are willing to witness truth. You're willing to shine a spotlight on something and really examine it and look at what the workability of it. Look at the gifts that it possesses, that the gifts that it offers, so that we can enhance our lives, enhance our world, enhance the potentials of what is workable. So back to this interesting evening I had last night as I was watching various things on Netflix. And I was watching another program called Diagnose, which is this brilliant woman who is a physician. Her name escapes me at the moment. She she is a researcher who is looking at very unusual diagnoses and writing articles that are in the New York Times about what are these symptoms that people are having, and offering it to the public so that others can say, yes, I am aware of this. So it's another kind of metaphor for this mycelium of putting information out there so that collectively people can begin to examine what we all need to examine. So I think that what I'd like to kind of do is to create like a mycelium, if you will, some natural neural networks that help us start learning how to help one another. And I believe that that begins in our mind. In our awareness of our emotions, and then in our mind. And to examine what it is that we witness, what it is that we do, how we collaborate or how we separate from individuals, and what that means to us. How do we begin to see that there is this beautiful spirit in a body? And regardless of what that body looks like, if it's perfect, if it's imperfect, if it's old, if it's young, if it's heavy, if it's skinny, if it looks a particular way, then we see beyond all of those things that we falsely judge through our imbalanced emotions and therefore our unexamined belief systems that have then in turn caused horrific harm on this planet. So just as an example, anyone who has a belief and has a belief that is so strong, they no longer have to examine what that belief means. They kind of abdicate their consciousness, their conscience. And that conscience is that part of ourselves that says, hey, wait a minute, let's look at that. How is it that throughout history, wars have been started and people believe that they should participate in a war because they believe in whatever rhetoric has been shared with them? Many people don't want to know how our emotions and our beliefs have been manipulated to such a degree that we have been dumbed down. We're seeing this in religion. We're seeing this. Catholicism is a huge, huge organization, the largest organization in the world, that has used beliefs to rule nations, to rule people, to gather flock, their flock, as they call it. Now, I was born and raised Catholic, but I want you to understand that I have examined much of this, studied much of it, and recognized that our beliefs have created great harm. There are many things that I'm writing about, actually, that help us to see how systems such as religions have given themselves permission to do such horrendous things and then have protected themselves in the beliefs that there's a superiority that makes them untouchables. In fact, the term is an infallible. There's more conversation about that we'll have in another time. But what I want to help you understand now, and what I would invite you to participate in, and is to examine your own emotions. Just look at them, feel them, and then ask yourself, what is this telling me? What is this emotion telling me about where I am? It is not necessarily telling you you're right or you're wrong. More often than not, our emotions are saying to us, this is good for you or not good for you. This is healthy, this is unhealthy. This is a wise choice, maybe not such a wise choice. It is not the judgment that the emotions are giving. That's our thinking that creates the judgment. The emotion is pure information. It's pure information coming to us through this unseen world of constant waves of information coming to us through space and time. Just like this amazing little cell phone can pick up information that just did not appear to us coming at us verbally, visually, but yet the information that's being perceived and makes this phone ring. And then as soon as I take the volitional action of swiping answer, pushing answer, pushing that little green button, that immediate connection is there. So it's like I like to make analogies for people to think about different things. Our emotions are moving by us. And we're feeling them all of the time. But imagine when we receive an emotion, it's like our cell phone of our body just rang. And on the other end of that line could be a little message that says, stop for a moment, or move forward, or pause, or take another route, or don't engage, or jump in with both feet. So it's the signals that are moving through our sensory preceptors, or excuse me, not preceptors, that's not the right word, predecessors, the predecessors of our emotions, that as soon as we pick up the phone becomes the receptor. But the phone isn't the judge. We are. I really hope that you will begin to engage conversations with me. I am going to be creating some online events to begin to open conversations with as many people as want to participate. We have ways to talk with people all over the world right now. We have ways of discerning ways and means of engaging people in other countries via platforms like video conferencing, Zoom, this platform, all that is available to us that was not always present in our world or was used for a select group of people. Now we have the ability to have conversations globally. I would be very delighted to have you join me. It's in the works right now. It's in my mind. I will talk about it as I get it organized, but I want to engage a larger conversation with whomever wants to participate, with some real beautiful thought leaders, and how we can begin to change our frame of reference, how we can begin to change what it is that we believe, know, think about ourselves in relation to everything else around. We need to change. We need to grow. We need to learn. We need to become literally like mycelium that can bring these neural networks of support to everything that is workable. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to life. We did not give ourselves our life, but we are creating the life we live. We did not make a single cell in our body, but we contribute to the health and well-being of this cell and of this life by how we nurture and care for our body, how we begin to understand these beautiful opportunities to learn that are initiated by our emotions. We learn how to stop, how to mitigate, how to lessen the problems that are so evident in our world that humans alone have created and humans alone can change. There is a whole generation of children that have and adults who have lived their whole life in violent situations, that no child ever should have been born into violence. There are people that have allowed themselves to believe that they are superior and that they can hurt others in a false belief that this will help them to be better people. It can never be satiated. But what we have to understand is, how do we prevent? We may not be able to change those who already have this belief unless they have, through their own volition, the desire to learn. But it is with those who are willing to speak up, those who are willing to say, let's look anew, let's be different, let's be better. How do we do this together? How do we begin to soothe our unexamined emotions so that we can begin to use this beautiful, beautiful gift that we have called a mind? And from there, how do we begin to use the powers of the four directions, our ability to be creative, our ability to be insightful, our ability to be deep in contemplation? If you don't have the capacity to examine your emotions and have them be examined thoroughly, thoughtfully, lovingly, and non-judgmentally, then you cannot use them to their greatest advantage for life, not just for yourself alone, but for life. To do this for the next seven generations, to do this for the continuation of life, we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to all of existence. And if life is about renewal, if it is about birth and growth, change, death and renewal, then that means that we will be back. We will be a continued expression of spirit, and that every life on the planet is an expression of spirit. And since we have been given the gift of a mind, that means that we have the gift of choice. Then we have the gift of hopefully the time it takes for us to begin to see ourselves new, to relinquish those things that we have believed to be absolute. And now we can see whether we want to continue in those beliefs, or do we want to expand and see greater perspectives, greater opportunities that have yet to unfold. So anyone that is going through a harmful or difficult time, as so many people are, look at it as not as an expression of you, but as a time for choice to be made, a time for renewal, a time for you to examine and look at really what was not workable, so that you can begin to find what is workable, what is new, what is fresh, what is wholesome, what is collaborative, what is joyful. And what we begin to understand is that as life unfolds, as beauty unfolds around us, then our life enhances. Our abilities begin to be much more evident to us. And life is benevolent. Life is not destructive. We have chosen through our beliefs to be destructive. It is time for that to stop. I think it's probably time for me to conclude, I would imagine. How are we on time, Kojo? Can you let me know that, please? I think we're just about done. Time to go. Okay. Thank you. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Please do check out my website, elainegrohman.com. Please engage in conversations with one another. Feel free to reach out to me at elaine@elainegrohman.com. And if you have ideas for upcoming shows, please let me know and I'll see what I can do. Thank you. Thank you, Kojo, for your assistance today and for all that you do to help me to get this out to others, and to Brent Carey, who started Empower Radio. I appreciate you both. Thank you, and have a beautiful day.